This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects, Barry's on the road doing funny stuff. So Tyler, Nick, and Joel with you till 4 o'clock as we've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. And that means guest bonanza extravaganza smorgasbord continues. And that means the knowledgeable, witty, and dare I say sometimes even funny, Jeff Blum joins us. And I will add versatile to that because with Robert Ford missing some time, Blummer's even done a little couple of stints on radio. But there is no better source for Astros hands-on information than one Jeff Blum. Dude, thanks for joining us. We always appreciate having you.
It's good being on with you guys.
So let me get, before we get into Happy Verlander Day and all that, let me ask you, because you are, like I said, the man that has everything at your fingertips. You experienced this firsthand. Talk to the people that might not be aware of just how difficult it was for you guys and the players to be on the road when this storm hits and have to endure all of that Tampa and all that other stuff before you finally got home.
It was extremely tough. This is my second time going through it because the first time I had to do it was 2008 with Hurricane Ike, and that was a little bit different scenario. It was a strong hurricane, but it knocked out a lot of power throughout Houston. So watching a lot of the support staff that we travel with having to leave their families literally in the dark was tough. And it was equally as tough going to Milwaukee with Dud Selig making the decision that he did to thwart our season by playing in the backyard of the Chicago Cubs. And then this season, it was that much more tough, just in the sense that we were gone for 3 days anticipating coming home, and the Hurricane Harvey hit. And all we could do was sit back and watch on TV, sit by our phones, trying to wait and hear from our loved ones and from family and friends to see if they're okay. And I think that's probably the hardest part for the players is for 3 hours they had to go on the field, play a game that they maybe weren't totally plugged into. And as soon as that game was over, they were all sprinting back inside to see if they could get any updates on family and friends back in Houston. That was extremely hard. And then the uncertainty of, what was going on in Dallas. You get so close, being a couple of hours away in Dallas, and you're looking for an opportunity to get back to Houston, and they immediately shipped everybody off to Tampa Bay. So it was a tough stretch.
And where were you, Blummer, real quick on the Rangers' side, point of view? Rangers catching a lot of heat. You could have played it in Dallas. You could have flipped the series. And instead, both teams forced to go to Tampa.
I think it's pretty obvious where my loyalty lies. I'm an Astro, and I am proud to be an Astro. I will defend the Astros. And I know, but in the Rangers' defense, I know it's a complicated issue because they technically, although I don't believe it, are in contention for a wild card position. So there were other teams involved with the decision making as far as whether or not the Rangers were going to be able to get three extra home games. But you never know until the tables flipped. But I'd like to think the Astros organization would be willing to flip a series if it meant the well being of another organization and other human beings.
We're speaking with Jeff Blummer here on ESPN 97.5. What's the reaction of teams that are not affected, like other teams that, because we know the Astros are obviously going to have a connection to this city and how Hurricane Harvey just came in and swept in. What were the reactions? Like, what was the best reaction maybe that you might have heard from a member that's not a Houston Astro?
Well, first of all, you got to thank Tampa Bay, the city itself, for welcoming us, giving us accommodations in their hotels, and then actually getting enough people to run that stadium for a three-game series was pretty phenomenal. And then I think you've also got to thank Fred Wilpon and Terry Collins of the New York Mets. They as soon as the Astros picked up the phone and said, hey, can we do a doubleheader on Saturday, give these guys a day off on Friday, I think before the question even got out of their mouth, they said, yes, do whatever it takes. We will come down there and help support you. They obviously reached out and did some relief effort and some goodwill down in Houston, which was beautiful to see. But every team that we've seen from that point, even up here in Seattle, Dave Sims, Rick Riz, a couple of guys up on that media level, they were truly compassionate about what we were going through, and they wanted to know the story. They took the time to let us tell our stories. But I think also in doing that, it helps them provide information to a lot of their fan base and that are trying to understand what the Houston organization is going through.
Well, it seems like there's just a whole motion building because of the strength. It seems nationwide now the Astros have a fan base that they might not have already had simply because of this storm, and people are gathering steam behind this team. And then they go out and they make these moves. And some people said, well, it was on the table as one of the things they were considering why they needed to go get Verlander and Maben, which no one really expected, and people were looking past. But these two additions have been fantastic in the early going for this team. And just talk about the impact that both these guys have had on this team.
Justin Verlander, I think, was one of the guys that really has provided an emotional boost to these guys just to – because of the pedigree that this guy has, 13 years with one team, big contract. He has all the accolades, but he brings a presence, and he brings an expectation of winning. Because I don't think Justin Verlander would have agreed to this trade if he didn't feel the Astros were the team to contend with, not only to get into the playoffs, but to get deep into the playoffs. So I think in him agreeing to that trade and sacrificing his comfort and status in Detroit to come to Houston and help these guys win, I think speaks volumes. Cam Maben might be one of the more underrated moves. He was just kind of a quiet move that said, hey, we're going to bring in a veteran presence that can play all three outfield positions, put together good ABs. And who would have thought in the first five games that this guy's played, he's provided two big home runs in clutch situations. So these guys not only provided on the field, but I think that there was a lot of thought to how they are going to impact the clubhouse, and these guys have fit right in like two beautiful puzzle pieces.
Well, the only thing that I follow up with you on that one, Blummer, is what does that do to Jake Mariznick? Because it seems like because Maben's been hot with the bat and because they are similar players defensively, that he's getting time and taking time from Mariznick now. So how do they coexist with what AJ does with both those guys?
No, it's going to be interesting. They're both very similar, and maybe there was a little bit of concern within the organization as far as Jake Mariznick's groin issue. But Jake is still a spectacular player, provides a ton of pop. He's had a phenomenal season. Depth is a good thing. This is a great problem for AJ to have, but you're right. Sometimes there might be a guy that takes a back seat. But you guys have watched enough sports, and I've watched enough sports, that when you get down into these situations late in seasons, you're going to go with the hot hand. And it just so happens with the timing of the injury to Jake and the addition of Cameron Maben, he's had the opportunity to step in. But I'm not counting Jake out. I still think Jake is a weapon. I think AJ knows how to use Jake Mariznick. And Jake also respects what Mariznick brings to this clubhouse. And I think Jake's handled it great so far. But I still expect him to get opportunities. We know in postseason play, if you have speed, not only does it help you on the base pass, it helps you on defense. And sometimes late in games, you're going to need some guys to run it down. And just think, if you've got a Mariznick, a Maben, and a Springer in the outfield, there's not much going to hit the ground.
All right, so Lance McCullers, kind of a big night for him, makes his return on Wednesday, first outing in 38 days. But, you know, he's coming back from that back discomfort. I read somewhere on the Chronicle, he went from a 2.69 ERA to a 3.92 ERA in five starts. I want to say it took something like four starts for Keuchel to kind of get back into his natural, back to normal form. How long do you think, how worried are you about McCullers, number one? And, you know, how much leeway does he have, considering a guy like Dallas Keuchel needed that much time just to get back to his normal form?
Those are good points. And I'm a little concerned just in the sense that, you know, he's getting back off the DL, and it's September 6th. And, you know, that doesn't leave him too many starts to figure things out. I really hope that he took advantage of those rehab assignments and can get back on the mound today. And I think that tonight is a very important start for a guy like Lance McCullers. Even in his youth, he's got a bright future ahead of him. He's got a long career ahead of him. But I think for right now, if we're just focusing on this season, it's a big start. Just in the sense, if he comes back and he can be the Lance McCullers Jr. that we saw earlier in the season, I can only imagine how strong A.J. Hinch would feel about going into an American League Division Series or Championship Series, knowing that he can set up his rotation to go Dallas Keuchel, Justin Verlander, and a solid Lance McCullers Jr. That would be phenomenal. And you back those guys up with a Colin McHugh, Brad Peacock, and some of these guys. Charlie Morton that have pitched really well. I think that would be really be an exciting time. But if there's going to be a little more of a condensed, compact type schedule for Lance McCullers, and I think the expectations are pretty high tonight for him.
Okay, Blummer, I know that everybody's talking about this team wrapping up the division, but I keep saying objects in your rearview mirror are closer than they appear. Those Indians are on fire. How important is it for this team to have not only the best record in the American League and home field, but to be able to play the winner of the wild card instead of one of those other teams that can set their rotation?
Yeah, the division is theirs. I'm pretty confident in that, and I think that they are too. They're looking forward to popping some bottles of champagne, but I'm with you in the sense that they put themselves in a great position to become the best team in the American League, and that does a couple of things. It does what you just said as far as you get to play the winner of the wild card game, and wouldn't it be great if the Astros were able to win that American League home field advantage and that day off and play the wild card champion, just in the sense that it would force Cleveland and Boston to try and beat the hell out of each other before they go to that championship series, which would be great. But when you face that wild card champion, typically we've seen in the past wild card teams will throw their ace in that wild card game just to get to the division series. And then if the Astros rotation matches up with Dallas Keuchel facing the number two, Justin Verlander facing a number three, and possibly Lance McCullers, Colin McHugh facing a number four, that obviously looks great for the Houston Astros because their pitching matches up great. And if the offense gets to go into that series facing a 2-3-4, that would set up phenomenally for a pretty good series, hopefully a pretty quick ALDS.
Yeah, I got to ask you about Verlander. I know you've been hammered about it over and over, but a great performance last night. He gets hit by Cano, still toughs that out. But the thing that's amazing to me of all the things of Verlander is he's one of those guys that actually throws harder as he gets deeper into games. I knew he was juiced up last night and he was hitting the gun a little throwing a little faster than he normally would. But how rare is it from an ex-player's perspective to have a guy that starts off in the 90s but finishes with his last pitch at 99?
Yeah, we're going to get spoiled for the next couple of years, and I have no problem answering questions about Justin Verlander because, you know, in my preparation as far as calling games against him, it's been interesting to see some of the numbers. Now we get to see him on a little more consistent basis and see the work ethic and see why he might be able to be stronger, deeper in games. He's gotten back into form after a couple of injuries over the last couple of years. The velocity is incredible. I know that second no-hitter he threw against the Toronto Blue Jays, he progressively gained almost, it seemed like he was gaining a mile an hour for every inning that he was going out there. I wish I could be able to explain it. I'm not sure if he's one of those Nolan Ryan types that needs to throw 150 pitches before he feels like he's getting loose. But what we saw last night as far as stuff combined with mentality was truly impressive. He said he was nervous, which I like because that means that he cares. And then he backed it up with that last pitch he threw on the night. At his 103rd pitch came in at 99 miles an hour. That's one thing. But he located it down and away to a right-handed pitcher, which was remarkable.
Yeah, no question about it. I know you got things to do to get ready for the game, so we're going to let you go, but I'm going to throw this at you because you know how we do this. We have no, there's no more Aoki Pokies, and we know you're loving the McCannon ball, but now because of the power surge of Cameron Maben, can we have Call Me Maben?
Hey, that might work.
You know, the Kyrie Jepsen or whatever her name is, but you could get a little Call Me Maben in there if he continues to do some things.
Well, first of all, it's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, get out of the stars, right?
I'm not. Nick is the candy pop guy. I don't know these groups like that. But Carly Rae Jepsen, I knew the song.
Being the father of four girls, I'm sure if I throw that out there, my demographic as far as viewers would go way up.
No question about it. Hey, Blummer, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. At Blummer27, follow him on Twitter. And if you can, check out their YouCaring.com page because the broadcasters themselves are donating $100 for strikeouts for the Astros. They're trying to do their part. Try and help them out. Follow them every night on AT&T Sportsnet. It is fun to watch games when you guys call them. Go out and get us another victory tonight.
Believe it. Always good being on with you guys, and thanks for the props.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Jeff Blum right there, another great guest right here on The Usual Suspects. We're going to get a break in here and get back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
That's all praise I need to know.
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, it's Tyler, Nick, and Joel as Barry is on the road again. Great stuff from Jeff Blum.
God, he's
always
a good
fun to have
kid.
Him on.
He's yeah. fun to talk to.
Yeah, he's a good dude. You and I were talking about it in the break. We started a movement last year when there was a chance that they weren't going to bring him back. And I was like, oh, man, you've got to bring this guy back. Because between him and Matt Bullard, to have two guys that are in touch with social media, that fans know that when they fire a question to them,
yeah, he's good.
They'll answer. But they also bring that kind of humor and more than just analyst role to the broadcast, which I love. And I think it's fantastic, too, that the broadcasters themselves got together to start a fund, to raise funds based on the strikeouts and what the team was doing to try and do their part to make a difference in flood relief and the hurricane relief. So I thought, look, for a lot of reasons, he's really, really good.
Yeah, and he seems like he's like that on and off the air. So he seems like, you know, pretty consistent personality, always in a good mood for the most part, at least every time that we've spoke with him here on The Usual Suspects from 1 to 4 on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And he talked about Verlander, and he said he could talk about him all day, and we can too. I mean, God, Kate Upton's hot. You know, I just did that for Jeff on the text line. But also because of the fact that, look, Verlander could have vetoed this trade. He took it down to the last minute simply because of the fact that, if you believe what you hear and what was printed, the Cubs were on his list.
Yep.
Was trying to see if that was going to happen. But he talked, and you got some great sound from him in terms of talking about joining his new team first and foremost and what that was like for him.
Kind of wake up with a different feeling. You know, 12 plus years with the same team, it's nerve-wracking joining a new ball club, especially in the midst of a playoff run. So, you know, just kind of try to calm the nerves as much as you can. But, you know, I understood that there's going to be some element of nervousness, excitement with these guys. So just kind of dealt with it, and it was kind of, here you go, let's go.
How do you? Yeah, and he followed that up by talking about those nerves specifically and what they felt like for him because of the fact that he didn't want to let this team down, but he tried to put some perspective on it in terms of the nerves he was feeling last night.
A lot of nerves, a lot of excitement. I think the most thing or the closest thing I can compare it to is opening day. Kind of nerves, kind of the unknown, don't really want to let everybody down. New team, but we had a good game plan going forward before the game and stuck with it and made adjustments here and there where we needed to. Great, great team win overall today.
He doesn't sound like I saw him in person for the first time. When you hear that voice, like if you've never seen him in person, you wouldn't put that voice with that face just because I didn't know he was 6'5". He's a big dude.
He's a bigger dude.
So I didn't know that. But yeah, man, it's you look at him in the clubhouse, you see the athleticism just walk right past you. He definitely belongs in baseball, but I hope that the nervousness is like a good nervousness and it just keeps him consistent throughout the regular season and into the playoffs.
Well, look, I mean, this is a guy that if he stayed in Detroit would have had no fire under his butt for the rest of the season because there was nothing
seasons.
To play for.
Yeah.
You know, they're going nowhere. They're unloading talent. Yeah, he's a staple of the franchise. Yeah, he's the face of the franchise. But what does that mean when you're not going to make a playoff appearance and you're not going to be pitching in meaningful baseball that everybody wants to be a part of in October and November? Now you are infused right into the heartbeat of the best record in the American League in a race for the best record to finish that way. You know you're going to the postseason, and you know you're going to be a big, big part of whatever this team does or doesn't do going forward. And that's why I said you just knew coming out last night he was going to have a little extra juice. He was going to throw it with a little more velocity than he normally did. And that was great to see. But what I loved was that people talk about his competitive nature. There were a couple times where he didn't locate early in the count in the first couple innings and dropped F-bombs just as loud as could be and is followed through. And you're like, I love that competitive juice.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I just didn't even see him get hit with the ball until you and Tyler brought it to my attention. I was just happy it was okay.
Wait, I mean, when he got hit, though, and going back to his competitiveness, he threw one pitch after they kind of checked him out, and he was like, let's go.
Yep. And the thing is, that's what he didn't want to tip. He doesn't want to show anybody he felt anything on that, because that's part of being competitive. But like I said, the F-bombs and the toughness and the grit.
And even after he got hit, like, I think that very last pitch that he struck out, I can't remember. I think it was Gamble, I believe.
I think you're right. It was Gamble,
but, that 99-mile-an-hour fastball, like, he spotted it, and it seemed like as soon as it kind of crossed the plate, it just, like, rose up a little bit and caught him swinging. But, it, like, that dude, I'm happy to have him
no
on
doubt.
This team.
That's what I wanted all along. And I tipped the listeners off yesterday to the fact that he's that rare freak-of-nature guy that's going to throw harder when he's thrown 90-plus pitches. And you just – you try and put that in perspective, but we see how guys, when they can't locate anymore and their fastball's lost a little something late in games, this guy's actually getting stronger and faster and still locating. That's what's so incredible about him. That's why he's such a great pickup and so much better than some of the other guys that were on their list to try and go get before the deadlines, simply because of the experience and because of that rare, whatever you want to call it, freak of nature ability to have that kind of arm strength that he has. So it's going to be fun to watch this guy down the stretch and into the playoffs. And I'm really, really glad he's a member of the Houston Astros. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to catch up on our breaks. And then we're going to get back with a whole lot more. We've got plenty more to catch up and talk about in terms of the Texans, the Astros, and, of course, the Ezekiel Elliott situation. Because at 3:30, we're going to have Terry Yates join us, legal analyst that's going to talk about the Zeke Elliott case specifically. If you have questions, let us know. 713-780-3776. Text us, call us, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more of the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Run a drum machine like my name, Roger Lynn. Write the rhyme, do the beat, the hook in the mix. ESPN 97.5. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
In case you missed it and you're just joining us at the halfway point, you've missed a ton. You've missed James Palmer, the NFL Network, giving you valuable insight on J.J. Watt and Dwayne Brown. You've missed Jeff Blum talking about Justin Verlander and the creation of the new Cameron Maben home run, Call Me Maben, that we definitely want to hear him use on the air. We've had lots of good calls and interaction. And we've got a Wayback Wednesday going on where we're using all Houston artists like that Kenny Rogers tune, The Gambler. Or no, my wife said you got to use Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream. You can't do that because Dolly's not from Texas.
Correct.
And there's lots of ones hanging in the balance that we had to go back and forth on. She was naming certain ones I won't even bring up to you because...
Well, some people adopt Houston, or like a lot of people adopt Houston as their town, and they may not be true Houstonians, so you kind of have to look that up.
Was it George Strait born in New Jersey but got to Texas when he was one?
I don't know who's known as
a Houstonian and or a Texan, and Lisa looked at it and said, well, actually, they were born in New Jersey, but at the age of one, they got to Texas as fast as they could.
It happens to me all the time. It happened to me with Barry the other day when he was talking about the UFC fighter, Derek Lewis. This whole time, I thought he was like Houstonian. Yeah. He just...
Early on?
I think from Louisiana.
I believe...
For Derek Lewis, that is. Yeah.
For George Strait, George Harvey Strait.
Yep.
He was born in Poteet, Texas.
Okay, good.
Okay.
That's good to know.
He's
a... Because he's a legend here.
He's a Texan.
All right.
Oh, Hillary Duffy.
Hillary Duff is Houston.
Hillary Duff, yeah. Right. Lisa brought her up and goes, oh, yeah, and she has songs. I go, we will never play Hillary Duff songs.
I'm trying to
think. Nick might play it on his iPod.
I'm trying to think. Is there a Hillary Duff song that I like? And I can't. It doesn't. I'm sure there was one pop song.
Any Hillary Duff song.
Thank God you don't, Tyler. Doesn't we just put it that way? Because I have no doubt Nick does.
Oh, I'm looking at it. Because I bet you there's a song. I'm sure there's a song y'all recognize, too. Y'all just don't want to admit it. Let's see.
Recognize and like are two different things. I just want you to be very clear.
Very good disclaimer.
Yeah, Trey probably can help you during the break. Right now, we want to get to Jason, who wants to get in here on the Astros talk before we change directions in any way, shape, or form. Jason, what's up?
Afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, so you've been talking a lot about Verlander and how he gets stronger as the games go on and how we've got a bullpen that can rest him. But honestly, and this is kind of the crux of my question is, do we need to push him to use him because of how close the Indians are? Do we want to keep home field advantage? I know we're great away on the road, but Cleveland's not a place I want to play if we get to Cleveland in the playoffs. What's your thoughts on that?
You know what? And appreciate the call, Jason. I've been on this, and Barry and I have been differing ends of this spectrum as we brought it up over the last couple of weeks. Look, I'm right with you. I don't want to lose. I want to have the best record in the American League. I know that Barry points out that they're a really good road team, but that's the regular season, and I don't care about road games right now. I care about playing the teams that are at a disadvantage or not as strong as you are going to be, and that's why I brought it up with Blummer. The main thing to me why I want to have a better record than the Indians is because I want to play the wild card team, and I want that wild card team to have to burn their ace, and I want that wild card team to maybe because of how close that race is for those wild card positions, maybe there's a tie, and they got to have a play-in game, and then they got to burn another pitcher. I don't care what it takes, but I want the matchups that are favorable for this team for series. And so therefore, for that very reason alone, that's why I think it's so important for them to have the best record in the American League. And for no other reason. I know they can play on the road. I know they can hit the baseball. But when you're facing aces, and aces are the name of the game in the playoffs in terms of pitching, and you know that you're going to see them two, maybe three times in a series, that's the main reason why I want them to have the best record and have their rotation set up exactly how A.J. Hinch wants it.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. I found some Hillary Duff songs. I'm sorry. This whole time I was looking up Hillary Duff songs.
Oh, boy. And by the way, before you clean. Wait a minute. That's a song by Hillary Duff,
yep,
Come Clean?
Come Clean. Tyler knows this song for sure.
You sure that's not something you watched on Pornhub?
No, it says Come Clean right here.
I would not recognize that song. I'm sorry. Tyler, you?
No. See? I got to say.
I'd play it, but it would sound terrible.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, this can of worms is all you right now, Nick. So well, unless you're going fishing, I don't know that those worms are going to help you.
So yesterday's another track, Tattoo. I know you know Tattoo. Just Like a Tattoo. I know you know that song.
Oh, boy. Complete with audio.
Don't isolate that, though.
Yeah, that's not going to be something I'm going to be familiar with, Nick. Sorry.
All right, my bad. Fine. Yeah. We can get off the Hillary Duff stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we were talking about just the fact with the rotation, though. I mean, look, the one thing that I would say that to the caller's point that I'd be worried about with Verlander in terms of the bullpen, I love the fact the bullpen's there for him. I love the fact that it gives his arm a little rest. I just don't want to get to be such a regular occurrence that he loses some of the endurance that makes him so tough later in games too. So yeah, I mean, don't like burn him out. But at the same time, yeah, you can give him a break here and there, but still want to make sure that he has the endurance still in his arm so that when you need him the most, he's there as long as possible.
Okay. I know we're coming up against the break here, but on the text line, we've got a Rockets question for you. So after the break, if you want.
Sure.
Just to respond to this text.
Rockets. Yeah.
Just to the text. We'll move on.
Sure. No problem. And look, again, Tillman Fertitta buying the team, a huge step in the right direction for this franchise, keeping a local guy in terms of the reins, holding the reins and making the decisions. That's a big thing. I mentioned that yesterday. But again, the Board of Governors has to approve him and approve the sale, but I don't anticipate any problems there.
You don't think like him owning casinos is going to have anything to do with it?
No, I was asked that yesterday on Twitter, and the thing that I'll use as Exhibit A is the Maloof brothers, when they own the Sacramento Kings, own the Palm in Vegas.
Yeah.
So I don't think that affects it in any way, shape, or form.
Some East Coast team as well. Somebody probably owns an Atlantic City
or has a stake in it. Yeah. So
like
I mean,
that.
Look, for the most part, that's not going to be an issue. There were a couple other things that were brought up in terms of what could be issues for Tillman. I don't think that there's going to be any. I think that especially because of the fact that he's not a part of a group, so that you have to check out each member of the investment team of the group and make sure that their funds are
might be a little bit quicker
up
sale,
and up. I think this is going to be a pretty speedy process.
I just didn't think Tillman, not because I didn't think he was worthy. I didn't think Tillman would get it only because I didn't know whether or not there was some sort of politics between him and Les Alexander when he initially tried to buy it first. I didn't know what their relationship was like, if they hated each other, if they didn't. So that's why I kind of felt like, oh, maybe Tillman wouldn't get it. My little under-the-radar guess was the Toyota. Was it the Gulfgate or Gulf State Toyota?
Gulf State Toyota.
Is it Franklin or?
It's Gulf State Toyota.
Dan Franklin, I think, is his
Dan
name.
Friedkin.
Friedkin.
Dan Friedkin, yep.
Yeah.
And Mattress Mack, look, as great a staple as he is in the Houston area, when you look at his net worth, he would have had to have a large group put together. You had to try and buy the team. So I think best case scenario is you've got a local guy that's going to keep him local, that is a fan, that's proven with everything he's done at the University of Houston that he is going to do what's necessary, not only just to keep the franchise making money, but to have them competitive, which is always a good sign for Rockets fans here in the Houston area. So we'll get to that question on the text line. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776, you can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter, and we'll be back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
You ease my mind, you make everything feel fine. Worry about those calls, I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time.
ESPN 97.5.
Let's go back.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You didn't at least listen for maybe 60 seconds when this song was a hit. For like 60 seconds.
I've never heard this song before in my life.
You know,
oh, okay. Wait a minute.
Y'all
now that it's kicked
heard
in.
This song.
Now that it's kicked in, I've heard it before. I didn't realize it was your theme song till just now. But I looked at Tyler and go, please don't tell me this is Hillary Duff. But sure enough,
this is
Come Clean.
Come Clean.
Massive. I don't like it already because she says, let the rain come down. Nope. Just, I'm out. I'm out on that.
Yeah,
it's just so kitty poppy.
It's kind of inappropriate, Hillary.
Hey, you know what? To each his own. People have their own hobbies.
All right, you want to get to these texts?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right, this is nothing. I did read some headline about Melo, something along the line. I didn't read it. You know how headlines are tricky. Mm-hmm. Something along the lines of the deal, you know, the chances of Melo going to Houston is all the way back at the two-yard line. And the text from it's a 713 number, didn't leave his name. Any news on the Melo trade to the Rockets? So I don't know if you've had any updates, if you made any phone calls, or
the last I heard
anything new,
the last that was out there was that Detroit was trying to become that third team to try and assist the Knicks and Rockets in getting a deal done. But I refer back to Kevin McHale when we had him on about a week ago. And he was saying, look, if the deal was going to happen in his mind, it would have already happened, and he has little to no faith that it will get done now. Now, you never say never, and of course, everybody was set back here, Daryl Morey and everybody over there, based on everything they had to deal with this city in the last week or so. So, you know, camp hasn't even started yet. I saw James was back in L.A. and running pickup games with Trevor and Chris Paul. So it'll be interesting to see. Look, I know Melo is still very passionate about wanting to play for the Rockets. I know that Dwayne Wade is out there as well. He's trying to get that buyout from the Bulls, and there are rumors that Dwayne Wade, you know, is not a slam dunk to go to the Cavs like everybody thinks. He could go back to Miami. People were asking, do I think he's going to go to the Rockets? No, I don't. I think that if they're focused on any outside piece now, I think it all is centered around Carmelo Anthony, and it's just a matter of can you find a way that somebody's interested in the other pieces without diminishing your rotation any, even further, because we already know the market for Ryan Anderson is hardly a market at all, but there's a sucker born every minute. But if you got to give up Clint Capella and or Trevor Ariza, I don't know that you're willing to take that risk.
Yeah, it's starting to look like that's what's going to have to be done. I mean, if I'm New York and I'm I'm trying to get as much as I can possible, obviously. And yeah, you're right. When you consider the youth behind Clint Capella, he's nowhere where he needs to be. But if you look at the progression over the past, how long has he played for the Rockets? Two seasons at least?
Three
seasons. Yeah. There's definitely been some progression. So yeah, he's a guy that you want to hold on to, that you might not want to give up in a deal included with a bunch of other players. Because you want him to be a part of that growth, a part of that development. Let's go to the...
Wait a minute. Before we get off of that, though, let me throw this out for you, okay? So you already have Chris Paul in the fold, right? Is it more important that you keep a Clint Capela simply because when you look at Chris Paul's career and look what he did for two big men that have Tyson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, he's made them all-stars because offensively they're limited at best. But those guys, based on lobs and alley-oops and pick and rolls to the basket, he's made them double-double machines.
You could probably make the argument, though, that DeAndre was a lot more. I mean, he's a lot more skilled and more.
I think Tyson Chandler, when he first came in, offensively is better than DeAndre Jordan overall with post moves and everything. I think that DeAndre Jordan's more athletic. I think both guys would be considered less than average offensive players. I think for those reasons alone, Chris Paul could do a lot of good for Clint Capela, especially coming up on a contract year, but also because they need him so much. And then I throw the question out there for you and for everybody else. Is it more important to have Carmelo wherever he is on his in his career and asking him to make the different changes that and to his game that he's going to have to make to fit in and be the third option in some cases with a new team?
Yeah.
Or is it better to keep Clint Capela growing and maturing and getting better thanks to a Chris Paul?
It's a gamble because you don't know how good Clint Capela will turn into. You don't know if he's going to turn into that guy that's an absolute vital part of the team's offense and defense, who might one day be maybe not a superstar but an all-star, like a really good all-star that makes a big, big impact each day. I don't know if you'll get that out of Clint. And I'm not – that's not me not being confident in Clint Capela. It's just going to be interesting to see him get to that point.
I think, Nick, a lot of people are enamored by the name, Carmelo Anthony, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you think about team, in a lot of ways, sometimes it's more important to think about who makes the better addition to the team and the rotation. We already know this team can score. We already know that if you have to keep Ryan Anderson, he can shoot.
Look, if you get a Carmelo Anthony, though, that is completely willing to play, like we talked about, willing to not be the main guy, not willing to be a ball stopper, not willing to take 1,000 shots per game.
And willing to get along with Mike D'Antoni.
And Harden and all. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ifs. No question. There's a lot of ifs. If you know for sure Carmelo can do all that, then yeah, give up Capela. But you don't know that. You don't know that Capela will be that good. It's a really tough decision.
By the way, I got a direct message from Adam Wexler at Channel 2. Glad he's listening, but tremendous bump music and well played from Tyler. I mean, come on. I give Tyler props.
I don't give the
credit. But the tremendous bump music.
When I'm the one who wanted to play it. It's all right. It's all right, Wexler.
He's asking who you are. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 713-780-3776. Somebody was asking about how they could get assistance. I've been hearing, this is from the 832, I've been hearing on your station and every other station about all this money that's being raised, but I've yet to hear how to ask for any of it. I got two cars flooded and water in the house. So obviously that text message stuck out to me. One thing that I can tell you, it's not necessarily the station that's raising all the money. We're talking about guys like J.J. Watt and everybody else that's been raising all the money. But if you want to apply for assistance, disasterassistance.gov, you'll be able to apply and might get some assistance from FEMA and get some funds for the cars that you lost and flooded. I lost my car in the flood as well, so I know what you're talking about. You know, fortunately for me, my house was okay. But if you want to, I'm going to tweet it out, disasterassistance.gov. You can apply there and get some assistance that way.
Yeah, you can either do it in person at the George R. Brown, too, because people are standing by, or any of the places where they're providing relief, NRG, George R. Brown, all those places have people standing by. So at least you're on file registered that you've suffered loss. And that's important. And then, like Nick said, and then if you can go online or have access to get somewhere where you can get online to do that, it speeds the process up greatly the quicker you respond by getting everything on file, reporting your losses. Whether you had flood insurance or not, just report your losses. Try to put a value to it. Take pictures of it, but do the paperwork now because it can help you in the long run later as the process goes on.
Yeah. Disasterassistance.gov, at the producer, Nick. I just tweeted out right now if you want to give it a shot. One more question. Do you guys feel like the Knicks on purpose wasted Melo's prime, like him being in his prime?
Now, I don't think it's on purpose, but I think that, the bigger question is, was Phil Jackson the right hire? Because Phil Jackson, who has never been a general manager and gets a lot of credit for being a coach, and I said, look, he coached well, but he also was blessed with the ability to pick a team when they already were built for Bear and had all the superstars, when he had Kobe and Shaq, when he had Michael and Scottie, when he had all the resources, he waited. He didn't build any teams. So then to be the general manager and take over a Knicks squad just because he had a name and had never done that form of the game, I think it really was a hindrance to the Knicks franchise and to Carmelo Anthony. But again, the same things that we just got done talking about, more so than anything else, you didn't put the right coaches with Carmelo. He didn't get along with Mike D'Antoni, amongst others. Now you're asking him, if he goes to Houston, to get along with him for the first time or to try it again. So that's a problem. He's always been the main man. At Syracuse, he was the man. At Denver, he was the man. At the Knicks, he was the man. Here,
not the
third man. Second to third man.
Absolutely.
Got to be willing to do it, make some sacrifices,
probably,
my man.
Probably the third.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. But I don't think that the Knicks did it on purpose, but I think for whatever reason, a lot of his great years were wasted.
I agree with you completely. I mean, I don't think they did it on purpose. Yeah. But yeah, they might have wasted his prime.
So there you have it. All right, 3 o'clock is upon us. 2 hours in the book, 1 hour still to go in the big show. Terry Yates, a legal analyst, talking about the Ezekiel Elliott case, will join us at 3:30, and we'll have continue to roll on with a whole lot more. So if you want to join us, please do, 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us up on Twitter, and of course, hit Nick's Twitter just to get all that valuable information if you do want to report losses during the hurricane, at the producer Nick, and he has posted that for you. Front and center. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5. That purple stuff, that loose the soda in my cup. No one behind the wheel, catch the wood, I'm done. I'm unfluenced of all y'all. So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.